Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show.
Wake up.
Where we broadcast from, in the Central Business District of downtown New Orleans, right across the street from us is the federal courthouse. It's the Hale Boggs Federal Courthouse. And 2 days ago, on Tuesday, some gentlemen went in there accompanied not only by their lawyers, but they were also accompanied by a bunch of news cameras from the local TV stations because they were former St. Tammany Parish deputies who were going into the federal courthouse to plead not guilty to conspiracy and bribery. And even though they pleaded not guilty, they are going to plead guilty. They are cooperating. And this is going to send a longtime former St. Tammany Parish sheriff to prison.
Are you talking about
Sheriff Jack Strain? I've always thought he had one of the coolest names ever for a sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
And I always liked Sheriff Jack Strain. But this is going to take him down.
Mm.
This all has to do with the inmate work release program, which the former sheriff was in charge of. There were two of his former deputies, the ones who were in the federal courthouse on Tuesday, they had sons, and their sons were in charge of the work release program. And once the inmates would get sent to the ex-deputies of St. Tammany Parish's sons' work release programs, then the sons would kick money back to Sheriff Jack Strain. That's what they're saying.
Was that wrong?
This went on for a while. I don't know the total amount of money, but it was high six figures.
I'm sure we're going to find out.
Yeah, I think this might have gotten, this might have hit the $1 million mark. I'm not sure. But when you've got former cops who are talking, who are cooperating with the feds, because the more they cooperate, the less their sentence, the less their prison sentence will be.
Right.
I can't imagine the former sheriff denying this. I can't imagine him saying, well, wait, this didn't happen. He's lying. There's no way.
Not everyone can be lying.
No, and I never would have guessed this from him.
Right.
You know, there are other local people, politically appointed people, which the sheriff is, who I would not even go out on a limb on and saying, like when Ray Nagin went down, the former mayor of the city of New Orleans. I mean, did that shock anybody that the guy was as crooked and corrupt as he was?
I would say yes. I would say for some it was a shock.
I couldn't believe.
Because
I was shocked
when he came in from Cox Cable. It was he was the savior.
There was hope.
Yeah,
a non-politician. What shocked me about Nagin so much, Brewster, is how dumb he was. I mean, he was making $350,000 a year working for Cox, and so you knew as soon as he was elected mayor, he was only making about half of that. He was going to have to figure out how he was going to make up for that $175,000 a year less that he was making as mayor.
Right.
But I couldn't believe how just blatantly stupid he was that, taking bribes and things like that from so many different people. So we're gonna find out pretty soon with the former sheriff up there in St. Tammany Parish has to say, because two of his not only former captains, but good friends of his, Clifford Skip Keene Jr. And David Hansen Sr., they were the ones who were in the federal courthouse 2 days ago. They're the ones who each have sons that were in charge of the work release program. And all of that went through the former sheriff. The way it was set up looked crooked. And local media, when it was set up several years ago, said, wait a minute, You're telling me that two sons of St. Tammany Parish deputies are running this work release program?
Right.
And there's a lot of money coming in here? And nobody could exactly put their finger on it. Well, now, cat's out of the bag.
Right.
And we just don't know the exact number. And it's a shame when you see someone that you thought was on the up and up.
Now there's a lot of fingering going on in this case.
So I don't think it's going to be that long. And it's going to be very interesting when he speaks for the first time since all of this has happened to hear what former St. Tammany Parish, Jack Strain.
Jack Strain.
Great name.
So you boys just stay here and keep your hands on the car until one of my associates arrive. And don't go home, don't go to eat, and don't play with yourself. It wouldn't look nice on my highway.
It's going to be interesting to see what he says.
If we could put like a Bayou bumper sticker together with those words, would that be too long? That's pretty long for a bumper sticker. Remember bumper stickers? Radio bumper stickers?
Do people still put bumper stickers on? I see some cars.
Oh, yes. You know, there was a time where I thought that was like pretty cool to do that. And it's like, no, not for me. Used to be when I was a kid.
Especially politicians' bumper stickers. What if you parked your car somewhere where that politician didn't get that many votes? And as a matter of fact, the people that are walking by your car right now with those bumper stickers, they hate that politician who's on the back of your bumper.
Right. At a time when car bumpers were actually made of chrome, they were actually metal, and they were much easier to get off. Now, I mean, you have the material that is the fiberglass. The bumper is the same thing that the quarter panel is made out of, and it really looks bad to me when people will put bumper stickers actually on the body of the car, like on the back of the trunk lid.
It can't be good for resale value.
Mm. And they're hard to get off, too.
It's the John Osterlin Morning Show here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Gambler robbed of his winnings in Harris Casino bathroom here on Canal Street. A 34-year-old gambler was counting his winnings in a Harris Casino bathroom. This was early yesterday morning when a man grabbed him from behind, slammed him against the toilet, and took his money. The robbery was reported at about 5:35 a.m. at the Canal Street Harris Casino. The robber fled in a white minivan. The police report that I saw, at first it did not say exactly how much money was stolen. You know, common sense goes a long way. You win some money at Harris Casino in downtown New Orleans. One of the last things you would want to do is go into a bathroom there and start counting that money. You know, you win some money at the casino, you go over to the big cage there where one of the workers at Harris gives you the money, and they usually count it out for you right there. You should put it in your pocket or be so inconspicuous with it that.
Well, okay.
Can imagine walking into a bathroom, then whipping it out and the money I'm talking about. Start counting it.
A couple of things about that. Sure, common sense should take precedence here. But yet, at 5:30 in the morning or 5:30 in the afternoon, at an open for business, well-lit, established, multi-million-dollar operation, shouldn't I have the reasonable expectation to go into the restroom and not get robbed?
I don't know about that.
Really? You don't know about that? There's not enough security around at 5:30 in the morning to ensure that. Forget about the winnings. It could have been. We don't know how much it was. But that's not the point. That is clearly not the point here. Don't make that the point. The point is, You get robbed at Harrah's Casino at 5:30 in the morning in the restroom. There's not enough security around to prevent that?
Well, I don't think...
That's what I'm flabbergasted by on this.
There's not security in the bathrooms. You know, security may be outside the bathrooms, but...
Okay.
Again,
I have a reasonable expectation to go into that restroom, whatever time it is, and not get robbed, regardless of how much money I either won or didn't want, just whatever. Forget about the money.
This is New Orleans. People get shot every day. People get robbed every day.
This is inside an open, well-lit business.
It's 5:30 in the morning.
It doesn't matter. I don't care.
You see some of the character. We're right down the street from Harrah's. We're broadcasting a couple of blocks from Harrah's. Brewster, you see some of the characters when you're walking from the garage into this building in downtown New Orleans at 5:30 in the morning?
I don't see them in Harrah's, though, at 3:30 in the morning or 5:30 in the morning. The key here is reasonable expectation. I should have a reasonable expectation to go in and afford myself of the services of this business, whatever it is. Especially at Giant Casino. It's not like we're talking about, I don't know, ducking into one of the kiosks, or not kiosks, bodegas or whatever, which aren't open at that hour anyway.
Hey, the first thing that I said when I saw this story and started presenting it this morning, I think you got to be nuts to take a bunch of money you just won from the casino at Harrah's, walk into one of the bathrooms in Harrah's, and then start counting that money. I think you got to be nuts.
Well, there's no question about that. And that is where good judgment and, as you mentioned, common sense should have prevented all of this.
Do you know how many people hang around Harrah's that are just looking to shake down people that are just looking to grab as much money as they can?
At 5:30 in the morning.
Doesn't matter. Around the clock.
It's
open 24 hours.
And you think they don't have security to remove these people. You make it sound like the bus station.
Hey, there are probably some people that were just hanging around, leaning up against the wall near the cage where the guy was collecting his money. And someone just saw, boy, this guy just got paid a lot of money through this cage. And look, he's walking into the bathroom.
Which makes it a random event. It's not like we have these stories once a month.
Yeah, you know.
I'm trying to hold up my flashlight that says reasonable expectation to you, and it's not getting through. You should have a reasonable expectation in an open, for business, well-lit establishment that within its walls is a lot of money, and a lot of money can be made. But that doesn't mean a lot of money can be made in the bathroom when you roll somebody.
Well, that's the exact reason a lot of money is in there. That's why some shady people hang around in there. Look, I live right near Harrah's as well. I live downtown here in New Orleans. And, you know, I haven't gambled in Harrah's. I go over there.
You go Brewster, for the buffet.
Yeah, I remember we went. I love the buffet over there. You get the locals discount. You can go get the buffet on a Tuesday afternoon.
How can you beat that?
For like $8. You go up like 4 or 5 times. It's fantastic. But I stay out of the bathrooms.
Morty, the key is no good.
So, but I used to live in Las Vegas. Dude, shady people hang around casinos. You know, and a lot of the people... Whether they're gambleaholics or drug addicts, and they know there's a lot of cash loosely flying around in those places.
But you make it sound like this victim at Harrah's had to run some sort of a gauntlet to get to the restroom to get by all the shady people. This is a one-time occurrence. I'm sure Harrah's, were they to have representatives speak to this, they would say, "This is a shocking event, and we regret the situation." But it's not like, well, it's going to happen because this is the clientele that hangs out at 5:30 in the morning. I don't believe that.
Everything inside that place, every square inch of that place is on
video.
It's
in a camera.
So I guarantee you when they look at the video, you're going to see the guy get the cash from the woman behind the cage. He turns in his chips. He cashes in his chips. He gets the stack of cash. You're going to see someone hanging around there. You like to reference the show Seinfeld. Do you remember when Kramer won all that money at the track?
Yes.
And then that shady dude was standing there and saw him when Kramer held up the money. I won. And then the guy followed him on the train.
There's like some weirdos hanging out at a OTB off-track betting, and you're comparing that to Harrah's Casino, whose electric bill is probably into the millions per month.
Well,
I find that problematic. If what you're describing is true, I've never been in Harrah's at 5:30 in the morning.
Well, you get
maybe we should do a show from there.
Well, look, criminals will hang around where there is cash. And especially a casino where people are winning lots and they're drinking lots and they're just throwing cash around.
But if you're telling me that they don't have enough security to control that, now again, this is a one-time thing. I have no reason to believe this happens frequently. But you're kind of saying that you're surprised it doesn't happen more frequently.
Yeah.
And but you don't think there's any security over there?
No, there is, and that's why it doesn't happen very frequently. I mean, any story like this, we would be talking about, and Brewster, this is the only one I could think of in the last couple of years where someone got robbed. I mean, I've read some stories in Harrah's. There's been some fights. But this is the first time I've ever read a story about a gambler winning some money at Harrah's, then walking into the bathroom, starts counting it, and he gets robbed. So the security is good there if this is the first time that we can recall a story like this.
Do we have any idea? We don't know what games he was playing or anything. I mean, you
could have been blackjack. I'm speculating. It could have been at 5:30 in the morning. I mean, he could have been playing roulette. He could have been playing craps.
He could have been playing the penny slots too.
Could have been playing slots. Although when you win slots, doesn't all the change come out and then you take the change over to the...
You apparently are spending too much time in the buffet. They don't do change anymore. It comes out...
I've never played slots.
It comes out on a slip of paper, and then you take the slip of paper not to a kiosk or a person. You just put it in an exchange machine. It'll print out and say you've won X. You put that in there. It gives you X back.
Huh.
But generally, those machines... We'll assume that he... got the reimbursement for a piece of paper, all right, and turn that into cash. Generally, those machines are fairly near the restroom. So there's no one, you're telling me there's no one within eyeshot of him walking, assuming that he did that, walking from the machine to the restroom, and no one is keeping an eye on.
It's
like the Wild West over there to you.
He either won that way,
that's the problem.
Or he won in a card game and cashed his chips in with the woman behind the cage, and then walked into the bathroom. Look, I'll be honest with you. This was not that. When I saw this story, the first thing that I thought about was not, boy, I can't believe some robber was in the bathroom.
Right.
The first thing that went through my mind, what the hell is this guy doing counting his money in the bathroom?
Well, that's
the first thing that went through my mind.
That's the common sense element that was lacking here.
But I'm sure security's fine over there. You can't see everything 24 hours a day,
no,
7
can.
Days a week,
yes,
every second.
Yes, you can.
Well,
in Harrah's Casino, you have the reasonable expectation that you will not be a victim of a crime in the restroom or otherwise with $1 or with $1 billion. That's how I feel.
Well, if I learned, and if you're listening and you learned anything about this story, good luck if you go to Harrah's. But if you win some cash, do not count it in one of the bathrooms inside.
I agree with that.
All right, coming up next on the show, a Democratic senator has just officially gone on record saying, if he could, he would regulate speech.
What?
Regulate the words that come out of our mouth. Now, that's not surprising because of his political party, as far as I'm concerned. But I can't believe he said it. You're going to hear him say it, too, coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. A porn star and Baton Rouge native Stormy Daniels has been ordered to pay President Donald Trump's $293,000 legal fee bill because she unsuccessfully tried to sue him. And as we've mentioned on the show before, this is the first time you'll ever see a hooker pay a politician. Usually it's the other way around. But porn star Stormy Daniels now, after she has to pay this $293,000 legal fee for the president, she's saying she got screwed. Figure. Coming up on the show, we're going to tell you about the politician that's making headlines this morning because he says he would, quote, love to regulate speech, unquote. Can you believe that in the United States of America? We have a sitting politician that wants to regulate the words that come out of your and my mouth. That's next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. So a congressman from California by the name of Ted Lieu, he made some news earlier this week when Congress was interrogating the CEO of Google, Sundar Pichai, during their House Judiciary Committee hearing.
We talked about that yesterday.
We did talk about that yesterday. And I remember mentioning when I saw Georgia Congressman Hank Johnson starting to interrogate the Google CEO. I said, what am I watching? This is the same congressman who thought Guam was going to tip over if we put too many, not only boots on the ground, but military equipment.
My fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
I said, this guy is asking the CEO of Google, one of the smartest men walking the planet. I mean, Google, when you think about this, an incredibly successful company when it comes to technology, and he's got to sit there and listen to that guy ask him questions?
When you think about it, the Google CEO, he's not thinking about where Google is now and where Google was. He's thinking in his head, while he's hearing these ridiculous questions, where Google's going next.
Yeah.
The future of Google.
I mean, it was ridiculous. Well, one of the other congressmen that was grilling the Google CEO was California Democratic Congressman Ted Lieu. And Ted Lieu also made news for saying something else when he just did an interview recently on the news. And I could not believe what he just said.
I would love to be able to regulate the content of speech. The First Amendment prevents me from doing so. And that's simply a function of the First Amendment. But I think over the long run, it's better that government does not regulate the content of speech.
That was him talking to CNN host Brianna Kyler?
Keeler. She's attractive.
She is. Especially with that deer in the headlights look that she had as he was saying those words. She looked like she had just been stunned over the back of the head with a blunt object.
A sitting United States congressman just said, this was like yesterday, I would love to be able to regulate the content of speech. What?
I would love to be able to regulate the content of speech. The First Amendment prevents me from doing so. And that's simply a function of the First Amendment. But I think over the long run, it's better that government does not regulate the content of speech.
Doesn't he kind of contradict himself there, though? At the end, he thinks it's, in the long run, better that government does not.
In the short run, he'd love to do it. But in the long run, I don't know what the hell he's talking about at the end there. All I know is he said, I would love to be able to regulate the content of speech. The First Amendment prevents me from doing so. That's right. The First Amendment, the freedom of speech, protects hate speech. It protects unpopular speech. We don't need the freedom of speech 90% of the time because most people, they say, hey, how's it going? It's good. Oh, they say, hey, I got to get some work done. Or, hey, I need to get something to eat. 90-something percent of speech doesn't need to be protected. The First Amendment protects controversial speech. That's why we have the First Amendment. But this guy, Ted Lieu, a sitting congressman in California, he wants to love to be able to regulate the content of speech. You know who wanted to regulate, and you know who did regulate the content of speech? Hitler and the Nazis. Imagine being a German or anyone around there in Europe in the 40s and the
30s. The Nazis.
And saying anything negative about the Nazis.
And just remember, what you're seeing and what you're reading is not what's happening.
If anyone said anything negative about Nazis, Hitler or any of them, they would be either killed or locked in a room with Jewish people. That's what would happen. Does Ted Lieu, the sitting congressman of California, realize it? I would love to be able to regulate the content of speech. Go bleep yourself, pal.
Love to be able to regulate the content of speech. The First Amendment prevents me from doing so. And that's simply a function of the First Amendment. But I think over the long run, it's better that government does not regulate the content of speech.
It's very interesting.
Shut the bleep up. Go bleep your... I mean, my God, regulate that. I mean, we're already living in 2018 America, the most politically correct climate we have ever lived in. People are afraid to say anything. And now he wants to regulate the content of speech. No, we should be able to say whatever the bleep we want to say. And then, again, I've always said this, and if you listen to the show, you know, there is no such thing as the freedom of speech without repercussions. I mean, we could all say anything, but then if we say stuff that's goes too far, people will let us know.
So, of course, Ted Lieu gets hammered, especially on Twitter. They're calling him the one Twitter user accused him of being, quote, the poster child for the tyranny, end quote. He then said this on Twitter. I agree there are serious... This is in response to some of the backlash. I agree there are serious issues, but the speech issues are protected by the First Amendment. Would I like to regulate Fox News? Yes, but I can't because the First Amendment stops me, and that's ultimately a good thing in the long run. See, again, he's arguing with himself. Very strange.
Well, I don't know the exact numbers, but you got a good chunk of the country that would love to regulate Fox News. You got a good chunk of the country that would love to regulate CNN and MSNBC because they come at you from completely different points of view in different ways. But I can't believe we have a sitting congressman, a Democrat in California, who would love to be able to regulate the content of speech. Brewster, could you imagine thinking that? I mean, he must, like when he's alone driving in his car, he must be like, boy, if I could control what people say, if I could regulate what people say, this country would be a much better place. No one wouldn't. Yeah. Could you imagine thinking that way? And this guy thinks this way. Scary stuff on Bayou 95.7.
God bless the United States. Thank you very much.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Coming up next, we look at today in history. We call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck. Suck is next here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. Let's look at today in history. And on this radio show, we call the segment
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Today, we honor the National Guard and all of its members. Today is National Guard Day.
Cool.
Approximately 350,000 men and women serve in the National Guard and the Air National Guard. That is 39% of the Army's operational force. As you know, the National Guard is a subset of the U.S. Army, a component, shall we say, of the U.S. Army.
I'm a big fan of the U.S. Army. I'm a big fan of the National Guard.
Yes. We were talking yesterday about, if you want to have Christmas music, as some people do, and sometimes you can find that on our sister station, Magic 101.9, and Steve Suter, who you hear, who you've heard for probably 20 years or more on Magic 101.9, a proud member of the National Guard.
Really?
Yes, you didn't know that.
No, I knew he's a brilliant radio mind.
He's also in the National Guard.
How about that? do learn something new on this show every day. It's always a goal.
Yes.
December 13th. It was today in the year 2000.
Why today doesn't suck.
In the year 2000, Al Gore finally concedes the presidential election.
Wait, that was last week, wasn't it?
Vice President Al Gore reluctantly concedes defeat to the governor of Texas, George W. Bush, in his bid for the presidency. Following weeks of legal battles over the recounting of votes in the state of Florida.
You and I this morning before we, this was off the air, and I don't remember why this came up, but we were, and don't say it right off the bat, we'll give the listeners a couple of minutes to think about it. We could not remember Al Gore's running mate in 2000. Don't say it. I'll give you like 5-5. Al Gore's running, think, Al Gore's running mate in 2000.
Took a couple of minutes.
And I had to look it up. Joe Lieberman.
From Connecticut.
Yes, the dynamo. That that human whirlwind, Joe Lieberman.
Well, since Al Gore didn't become president, he then...
well, not officially, he is in his own mind, but...
went on to make hundreds of millions of dollars off of what used to be called global warming.
Yes.
And now it's called climate change.
Yes.
Boy, wouldn't it be something to make hundreds of millions of dollars off of something that he said was going to destroy the earth by right about now? It's 2018. Yep. If you go back and look what Al Gore in the early 2000s said about global warming, I don't think a lot of us should be here right now.
Oh, we're definitely on borrowed time. I know I am.
December 13th. It was today in 2003.
Why today doesn't suck.
Saddam Hussein was captured. They dragged him out of that cave. After spending 9 months on the run, former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein is captured today in 2003.
Yes.
And
now I don't. We're not going to be here on the anniversary of the date. You know where this is going. I believe it was December 30th. Was it not? So.
Oh, when they...
Yes, the Saddam hanging. Do we want to...
You've got that audio.
You want to do that now? This is exclusive audio from the Saddam Hussein hanging. Is it me or does that get longer every time I play it?
Yeah, not only did Saddam Hussein get captured today, we ended up getting his kids too, and they killed them. And I love that audio. That's exclusive, like you said.
Someone's getting in there and lengthening that. I don't remember it being that long.
December 13th. It was today. I'm not going to tell you exactly when yet. I want you to guess for 1 second. The first sitting United States president made the first trip to Europe.
Wow, it had to be by boat.
Which United States sitting president was the first one who said, you know what, I'm going to go make a trip to Europe?
John Quincy Adams.
No, a little bit later than that.
James Monroe.
Okay, keep going.
Those are the only two presidents I can remember. Millard Fillmore.
Close.
I'll just tell me.
Woodrow Wilson.
Wow.
Woody, as some of his friends called him. Today in 1918. After,
why today doesn't suck.
After 9 days at sea aboard the SS George Washington, Woodrow Wilson arrives in France.
Well, my first guess was only off by 120 years.
Yeah, well, I'll brush up on our history every now and then. And now it's no big deal for presidents to go visit Europe, but right. Back then it was a pretty big deal. December 13th. It was today in 1985.
Why today doesn't suck.
if you were watching the very popular television show on this night in 1985, if you were watching Miami Vice, you would have seen Phil Collins' guest appearance as a drug dealer.
Ooh. I didn't watch Miami Vice, so sadly I missed it.
I wonder if that was the same episode where they played his entire song In the Air Tonight when they were in the car, Don Johnson and his partner there. Phil Collins. Sure, I'll play a dope dealer.
Right.
How about that?
It was on this date, December 13th, 1996.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Another movie I've never seen. Jerry Maguire, directed by writer Cameron Crowe, opened in North American theaters, featuring cameos from the late Glenn Frey of the Eagles and Jerry Cantrell of Alice in Chains.
Brewster, I'm not the biggest Tom Cruise fan.
Right.
That is a fantastic movie.
Is that?
That is a great movie, Jerry Maguire.
That is Show Me the Money.
Yeah.
I have not seen it. 30 years prior to that, on this date, December 13th, 1966.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
What? 1966?
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The Jimi Hendrix Experience recorded Foxy Lady in London. My, was it 52 years ago? My God. Two birthdays today. We say happy birthday. Both of these tremendous guitar players born on this date in 1948.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Making them 70 years old. Happy birthday, Jeff Skunk Baxter, side player for the Doobie Brothers and Steely Dan at various times. And happy birthday to the Motor City Madman, Ted Nugent, who also turned 70 today. I've got one more. It was on this date, December 13th, 1983.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Well, Jimmy Page joined Robert Plant on stage for Plant's concert at the London's Hammersmith Odeon for a rendition of Roy Head's Treat Her Right. Everybody's screaming Stairway to Heaven, jazz beer, whole lot of, and was one idiot in the back going Freebird, and they play Roy Head's Treat Her Right. Never heard of it.
Maybe one guy in the stands in the crowd screamed out, hey, how about Head?
Could be. It was the first time they publicly performed together since Led Zeppelin's breakup.
You know, going back to Jerry Maguire that was released today.
Show me the money.
Brewster, I was on the radio in Boston at that time. And my program director saw the movie.
Right.
And the next day, he grabbed me in the hallway and said,
you're fired.
No, he said, you have to see Jerry Maguire.
Huh.
That's how, I'm not a big Tom Cruise fan. And I haven't seen all of his movies,
right?
But that movie, fantastic.
Well, I mean, it's on the list that I'm going to get around to. I know it's been 22 years, but I'll see it one day.
And that's when Renee Zellweger was in that movie. And that's when she looked like Renee Zellweger.
Exactly. Well, she just... Do you think Jennifer Grey altered her look? And she's unrecognizable from Dirty Dancing.
Well,
Renee Zellweger doesn't look like anyone.
Renee Zellweger looks more like the old Jennifer Grey than Jennifer Grey looks like.
Right. Huh?
I got one more.
All right. Finally.
December 13th. It was today in 1983.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
A record-breaking NBA basketball game was played between the Detroit Pistons and the Denver Nuggets. Why was it record-breaking? The final score was 186 to 184.
Wow.
It was like an NBA All-Star game. But they were actually two teams trying to play defense. The game did go into triple overtime.
Well, that helped. That helped kind of pad the score.
I think George Gervin scored 70. I think David Thompson scored 70-something points for Denver.
Joe Dumars hit like 25. Joe Dumars!
It was insane. And the NBA is going more that way than it is the other way. The defense is not a high priority in the year 2018 in the NBA.
Chicks dig the long ball. And that's a segment that we call
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Coming up on the show, more disturbing accusations against former St. Tammany Parish Sheriff that we've talked about. This is ugly. The former sheriff is going to go to prison for something. This is something completely different that he could end up going to prison for. Stay tuned for these very disturbing details coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. We told you about on this show the principal of the elementary school in Omaha, Nebraska, who's been placed on leave because she told her elementary school students candy canes would not be allowed in her school.
An outlying suburb, to put a fine point on it, of Omaha.
Yeah, she said that candy canes would not be allowed in school this Christmas season because the candy cane is shaped like the letter J, and the red on the candy cane is Jesus's blood, and the white is redemption. And once the kids started crying and freaking out, the teacher was placed on leave. That's not the only thing she did, Brewster. That's not the only thing she said.
Uh-oh. Now what?
She said that the students can't even call Santa's helpers elves.
Uh-oh.
They're to be called undocumented little people. What are they doing to these poor kids? Coming up on the show, there's a former longtime St. Tammany Parish sheriff. Looks like he's going to go to prison for a while for something. But we just learned something else that is so much more disturbing than what he's already in trouble for. Stay tuned for these sad details coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. So we have mentioned the story going on with former longtime St. Tammany Parish sheriff. And I've always said I liked his name. I thought he had a cool sounding name. Sheriff Jack Strain. I always liked him. I've had him on my radio show in New Orleans before. And he's in some trouble now. And it looks like he's in a lot more trouble than we originally thought. A couple of days ago, on Tuesday, two former St. Tammany Parish Sheriff's deputies who worked under the sheriff walked in to the federal court building here in New Orleans, and they pleaded not guilty to kickbacks and bribery and all kinds of stuff. They pleaded not guilty, although they are going to plead guilty. They are cooperating. And the story goes, these two cops, these two former St. Tammany Parish sheriff's deputies, the reason why they were in the federal courthouse in New Orleans is because they each had a son. And their sons were in charge of the inmate work release program in St. Tammany Parish. When guys were getting out of prison or guys were getting close to getting out of prison, they would be sent to the work release program. Money, a lot of money was involved in this. And every prisoner that went to that work release program, for every prisoner, that facility got money. And remember, the facility was run by two St. Tammany Parish sheriff's deputies' sons. And what they are being accused of is when they got money for each of these work release program guys that just were getting out of prison, they would then kick back some of that money to St. Tammany Parish Sheriff Jack Strain. And these two guys, these two former St. Tammany Parish Sheriff's deputies who were in federal court in New Orleans, not only did they work under Strain, they were also fairly close with him, friendly. And when their two sons got the gig to run the work release program, you know, local media a few years ago when this happened, they were asking about that, but they couldn't find any wrongdoing with that. Well, now it looks like lots of money was kicked back to Sheriff Strain through the work release program. We haven't heard from the former sheriff yet. I'm sure he's going to make a statement at some point. But just when you, now he's, like I said, he's going to go to prison for that. because his guys are talking. They're cooperating with the feds now. His former deputies, sheriff's deputies, they're talking. But just when you thought that that was the worst thing that the former sheriff did you see the headlines this morning? Probe of ex-St. Tammany Sheriff Jack Strain includes allegations he sexually abused teenagers. And they're saying that's why these two sheriff's deputies' sons got to be in charge of the work release program with all of that money coming in. Because these two guys knew about the alleged sex between the former St. Tammany Parish sheriff and teenagers, plural. This floored me when I read this morning. Because I've always said, you know, when it comes to elected officials around here, sheriff being an elected official, I always thought he was one of the good guys. I always thought he was, he ran a tight ship up there in St. Tammany Parish. St. Slammany, that's its nickname. You don't want to commit any crimes up there. You'll be going to jail a lot longer than if you committed the same crimes here in New Orleans, in Orleans Parish. There's no doubt about that. So now what some people that are connected to this case are saying is the reason why these two former St. Tammany Parish Sheriff's deputies, why their sons got the work release program, it's because the deputies, their fathers, knew about the allegations against their former boss sexually abusing teenagers. And so the story goes, the sheriff put these two guys and their sons in charge of the work release program so they wouldn't say anything about the former sheriff and the accusations that he sexually abused teenagers. This is horrific. You know, the original charges, all right, money. He got caught. It was an inmate work release program he was in charge of. He gave it to a couple of his former sheriff's deputies' sons to run, and then the money started coming in, and then the sons started kicking back that money. And again, I don't know exactly how much money. I don't know if it got to the $1 million range. It could have, but from what they're saying is they would hand the former sheriff $1,000 in cash on a regular basis when they would take these work release program members into the facility up there at St. Tammany Parish. Now, these new allegations that he gave the inmate work release program to these specific officers to give to their sons, because they knew about him sexually abusing teenagers and he wanted them to not say anything about it. This is all breaking news this morning. And this is, I can't think of another word besides horrific. Now, the former St. Tammany Parish Sheriff Jack Strain has not said anything about the first charges yet. I mean, he needs to make some sort of a statement about that. And if he hasn't said anything about that yet, he certainly hasn't said anything about this headline that just showed up this morning in local newspapers about the sexual abuse of teenagers. Again, we don't know. We're reporting what we read and what's been reported. But it's a sad day if all of this is true. And all we can say when it comes to this horrifying story is stay tuned. Coming up on the show, we're going to tell you about how the pizza industry has a scam that I bet you don't know about. And there's a women's hygiene product that has just been recalled. And I'll give you the details on that. I know I'm male, but I have the information. I'll be able to handle that for you. Stay tuned for those reports coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Do you know if you go into a pizza place? Now, I don't know if every pizza place is like this, but I know a lot of them are like this.
All right.
You could buy a slice of pizza or you could buy a whole pie.
Not at the chains. They're not going to sell it to you.
Not talking about the chains. Okay. I'm just talking about the regular neighborhood pizza shop.
Okay.
And they are two different sizes. Like, if you go in and you want to buy a slice, they take it off of one pizza. But if you say, give me the whole pie, they won't give you that whole pie that they take the slices off of. Do you know why?
Because it's the same reason that a coffee container used to be X amount of ounces for a certain price, and now it's smaller, but it's the same price.
The pizza that you would get a slice off of is...
Am I right?
Close. The pizza that you would get a slice off of is 20 inches in diameter. If you wanted to bring a whole pizza home with you, 16 inches in diameter. So the slices, they're bigger slices to sell by the slice. Do you see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
And I think most pizza places are like this.
I didn't know there was a standard of sizes and pans and all that. I guess could be.
Well, yeah, if you were hungry and you wanted a whole pizza and you saw a pizza sitting there with a slice out of it,
right,
and you said, yeah, I'll take the rest of that, they would say, no, hold on, let me get you your own, because it's smaller. They would make you a smaller mm-hmm. pizza than the pizza that they take the slices out of.
Who knew?
There's a pizza secret. All right, coming up next, there's a feminine hygiene product that has been recalled. And even though I'm male, I can give you the details on this. That's next, coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford.
I'm going to leave the room now.
Why is that?
Just go ahead. You're on your own.
You sure you're all right over there?
Yeah, I'm all right.
I just wanted to...
I'm already uncomfortable having heard you tease what you're about to talk about twice.
And I'm going to get to that in 1 minute. The feminine hygiene
products. Do you have to?
That have been recalled, but as a man, I'm comfortable enough speaking about it. Just give me 1 minute. Un momento, por favor. Because tomorrow night, I'm going to be at Shenanigans in Metairie with a bunch of really funny stand-up comics. Not only are we going to tell jokes and have a fun night,
depending on how this next segment goes.
But it's all to benefit the Toys for Tots program. That's where we raise toys and money for the poor kids who wouldn't have a bunch of Christmas presents. And so tomorrow night, if you want to go hang out and have a good time and watch comedians and me tell jokes, it's only $5 if you bring an unwrapped toy. And I think if you don't bring a toy, I think it's $10, and all of that money goes to the Toys for Tots, United States Marines, and as we all help to give Christmas presents to unfortunate kids.
All right, you said a minute. You went way over.
Okay, that's tomorrow night. It starts at 7 o'clock. It's early. Hopefully we'll see you over there at Shenanigans in Metairie. And if you go, say hi.
I'll be right back.
Kotex issues nationwide recall on tampons. Look, we're a full-service radio station, Brewster.
And, you can keep talking to me. I'm not in here. I left the room.
And the reason why Kotex has issued their nationwide recall on tampons, it's because they may unravel and or come apart while in use. This reminds me, Brewster.
I'm not in here. Pretend like I'm not in the room. That's what I'm doing.
I used to work at a radio station where a woman used to be on air as well. She lost her job. And I got called in after the show one day because she lost her job. She had commercials that she was reading.
Right.
For a feminine hygiene product. And there was still like a week or two to go on that deal. And they needed one of us to replace her and read her commercials for the feminine hygiene product. So they asked if I would do it.
And?
Well, I said, look, I'm comfortable enough in my, manhood where I will do
it.
Is
that what you call it?
And so for about a week or two on the old station, I came on and said, hi, I'm John Osterlin for Vagisil. Are you like me? You get uncomfortable down there sometimes?
You know the rule.
Uncomfortable feminine itch? Well, buy Vagisil. I had to do that for a couple of weeks.
You know the rule in radio. If you don't have tape, it didn't happen. I want tape!
So because I had that experience in my past, I feel comfortable enough telling you about this Kotex tampon recall.
Is this going to lead to swimming and horseback riding?
At the end. The makers of the Kotex brand tampons is a company called Kimberly-Clark. And they've issued a voluntary recall on a particular type of its tampons sold in the United States and Canada. The company released a press release on Tuesday. You by Kotex Sleek Tampons. They have a quality-related defect. Namely, the tampons are falling apart. Once they get to where they're supposed to be. And so if you are listening right now and
very little chance of that.
You have Kotex tampons, you
can you put your wife on the phone?
Well, you can either return them, they'll take care of you with, you know. Or you could roll the dice. If you want to continue to use these things. The company says it has received consumer reports of the tampons unraveling, coming apart. And in some situations, people had to go to the doctor. Some women, and I'm assuming these are mostly women, although it's the year 2018.
All bets are off, yes.
But some people have had to seek medical attention to get what was left of the Kotex tampons inside of them. They had to go to the doctor to get the rest of them out.
Will you stick to the copy? Stop ad-libbing.
I'm trying to. And there's been some vaginal.
Please, these highly technical terms. Very off-putting.
Well, vaginal irritation, Brewster. And this is the exact opposite of what Kotex tampons are supposed to do. They're supposed to help. Oh, get back.
Stick to the story. Quickly.
The recall affects you by Kotex Sleek tampons. Regular absorbency tampons that were made between October 2016 and October 2018.
What am I bid?
I didn't know. I didn't realize they were like food, that they had dates on them. So when you get a chance to look in your closet, if you're using these, if the ones you're using were made between, again, October 2016 and October 2018, you can bring them back to where you bought them and again, exchange them, maybe get your money back.
Now, does it actually say that? Don't give people directions of what to do if it doesn't actually say that.
Yes, it does say that because of it's a total.
And it has the word maybe. Oh, maybe you can do this, and then maybe you can do that.
No, it doesn't have the word maybe. I threw that in there. You can get your money back because they're being recalled nationally. Not only nationally, in North America. It's the United States and Canada.
What if I am on horseback?
That got these defective tampons. And stores now have been urged to remove the affected lots from their shelves and to post notice in their stores. So you might see some signs up there.
Right when you walk in the door.
Yeah. Watch out for these Kotex tampons. They're not doing what they said they're supposed to do. They're coming undone. They're falling apart. This isn't the first time Kotex has issued a recall of some of its feminine hygiene products. You might recall back in 2012.
I don't.
The company recalled its Natural Balance security tampons after bacteria was found in its applicator. See, Brewster, I'm comfortable enough.
It doesn't say that in the story. It doesn't say C. Brewster.
What?
Stick to the copy.
Brewster, there could be people walking around right now that don't realize they may have some of this stuff that may all be up in.
Right.
They don't know.
How many men 25 to 54 do you see in that particular category?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't either.
But I read somewhere where, I think Caitlyn Jenner was affected by this.
And look at the time.
Well, I'm just saying.
No, I'm just saying.
So,
you don't believe me? There, look at the time.
Look, we try to help you out on this show. You got some bump tampons.
Things that make you go, hmm. That's it, we're done.
Well, we do this
thank you for that public service.
We care. That's why we do the public service, because we care. All right, coming up on the show. Donald Trump has canceled the White House Christmas party for the press. He said there will be no Christmas party for you because he hates the press, because most of the press hate him. We'll give you the details, but the press is going to have to find something else to do that night that they were supposed to be going to a Christmas party at the White House.
On horseback.
Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, nah. New Orleans only classic rock. Gah. So I was just reading about actress Gwyneth Paltrow. They're saying she's having a major meltdown as she gets older. She's melting down over her droopy breasts. Brewster, it's gotten so bad for her, she's been nominated for a SAG award.
Yeah. Figure. Good luck to her. Hope she wins.
We've told you a couple of stories so far this Christmas season about teachers, a substitute teacher, some guy outside at a Christmas thing the other day screaming at children, Santa Claus is not real.
Right.
So, your parents are lying to you, said this world sucks, Santa Claus isn't real. I don't know. What's going on this year with some people and substitute teachers and such?
And he was just a guy. He was just like running around, freaking out, telling kids there's no Santa Claus.
Yeah, we've read a couple of stories like that for you over the last couple of weeks. Here's one that happened. Now, this isn't someone telling children that there's no such thing as Santa Claus and that Santa is fake. But this past Sunday in England, in the town of St. Ives, Cambridgeshire, about 50 children were taken by their parents to go see Santa Claus in a mall.
Okay.
See, that happens over in England just like it happens here in the United States.
Yes.
In the middle of this event, a fire alarm went off. And all of a sudden, people started running everywhere. Santa Claus stood up, ripped off his beard, ripped off his red jacket and started screaming to the children and their parents, get the F out. Parents were horrified, not by the fire alarm. They were horrified that all of a sudden their children saw Santa come out of character and start swearing at them. I think I'd rather have some strange guy just tell my kids that there's no such thing as Santa than to have them see Santa lose it during a fire alarm.
Yes.
And start swearing at them.
It was the best Christmas ever.
Yeah, organizers of that Christmas event had to apologize to outraged parents after that fire alarm prompted Santa to burst out of his getup and start screaming to the children, get the bleep out. We're all going to die.
Love it.
Those kids will never look at Santa Claus again the same way.
They'll never look in the mirror at themselves the same way again.
Boy. And those parents are going to have to, they're going to have to figure out something.
Yes.
Coming up next on the show, you know who's going to have to figure out something? A bunch of the national media who was set to go to the annual White House Christmas party for the press. Donald Trump just canceled it. Because he doesn't like the media, and much of the media feels the same way about him. We'll give you the details on this coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. the John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Hey, got the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame newest inductees. I'm going to get to that in 1 minute here.
Okay.
Interesting list. But President Donald Trump has canceled the White House Christmas party for the press. Well, he doesn't like much of the press because most of the press doesn't like him. And this is something that was a pretty big deal, the annual Christmas season gathering. Because if you're in the press that cover the White House, you know, you can bring a family member. You bring your husband or wife, you could bring, and then they let you walk around the White House. It's a pretty big deal. And the what's on the menu.
Yeah, big spread, open bar.
Yeah, what's on the menu is incredible. But Donald Trump is thinking that the media doesn't do anything for it. Now, if he just said, well, we're shutting down the party for everybody except for Fox News, although Shepard Smith, you're not allowed to go, that would be one thing. But we all know, if you watch CNN, it's one story after another story after another story. It's all negative when it comes to Donald Trump. They don't like him. And so Donald Trump said this year, do something else the night that you were supposed to go to the White House Christmas party for the press. You know, I wouldn't care who the president is. If I got invited to the White House, I would want to go just to walk around in there and to see, you know, to see the room Richard Nixon was standing in, freaking out when he realized Watergate was getting him. I want to see the room where Bill Clinton was freaking out when he realized lying about the relationship with the young intern Monica Lewinsky was going to get him impeached. Wouldn't you want to, I mean, talk about standing in hallowed halls? That would be pretty neat. But this year, the press, they're going to have to make different plans as Donald Trump, the president, has canceled the White House Christmas party for the press. So, the newest inductees of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame were just announced.
And so these are the actual ones going in, not the nominees, right?
Yeah, these are the ones going in. I'm going to tell you the ones that didn't make it, too.
All right.
Because the list is out for the 2019 inductees of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, a place that I've been to in Cleveland, Ohio.
Spoiler alert. So if you don't want to hear this, switch off for a couple seconds.
Yeah.
I don't know why you would not want to know, but some people are, you know, touchy that way.
Well, leading the way, I'm going to tell you the top fan vote getter, because they let the rock and roll fans vote. When they see all the nominees, then fans can vote. The top fan vote getter, Def Leppard, got into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Why are you screaming at me?
That was a pretty big deal.
I'm right here.
Because some people look at Def Leppard funny, but they sold so many albums and they've had so many hit songs. How couldn't they be in? Def Leppard is joined by Stevie Nicks, who got in on her own. She's already in with Fleetwood Mac, and now she's in on her own.
Do we need to have double inductees like that, though?
Oh, we have. There's several.
I know, but do we have to have that?
Well, you would think
what are your thoughts?
You know, if you did well in a band, they got in, then you branched out and had a bunch of great songs as a solo artist. There you go. You know who also got in? Janet Jackson. Now, I know you might say, well, she's not rock and roll, and she's not, but the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they take a lot of popular music artists.
I can't support that.
Here's what's interesting about Janet Jackson.
Nothing against her, but there are a lot of... There are a lot of inductees seemingly over the last few years that just makes me kind of
Janet Jackson became eligible in 2007. I think it's got to be 25 years after your first album. I think that's
really?
How you become eligible.
All right.
And then she disappeared because they're thinking her 2004 Super Bowl appearance where her breast showed the wardrobe malfunction had something to do with that. She didn't get nominated again until 2016. And then she finally got in this year. So you got
Tell me again which one of her songs qualifies as rock and roll.
Well, it's not, but she was huge. She had a lot of huge hits. Again, they're not rock and roll, but.
And what's the name of the entity in Cleveland?
I know, and I've been there before. It's a really cool place.
It's not called the She Was Huge Hall. The Hall of They Were Huge.
She joins her brother Michael Jackson and her other brothers, the Jackson Five. So Michael Jackson is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice, part of the Jackson Five and as a solo artist. Here's who else got in. And wait till you hear who didn't. Radiohead got in. And then one of the guys in Radiohead, when someone called them up and said, hey, how do you feel about getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? One of the guys from Radiohead said, I don't care. And then one of the other guys from Radiohead's Johnny Greenwood said, I don't care. And then his bandmate, Ed O'Brien, said, culturally, I don't understand the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well, then they're like me.
I think it might be a quintessentially American thing. And
I don't know about that.
Radiohead being from England,
right.
You know, so. So they all got in. And the Zombies got in. Now.
Is that Zombies as in.
From the 60s.
She's not there?
Yes. That's something that's wild about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The same year, you know, Def Leppard gets in, the Zombies get in.
Right.
That's very bizarre. I'll tell you, The Cure got in, and Roxy Music got in. Those are the bands who got in. The bands who didn't get in.
You're getting close to almost like one-hit wonders.
Well, the bands who didn't get in.
Like, I would not put, like, Radiohead to me is a no.
They're so influential over bands of today, Brewster, that I think Radiohead has to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I don't necessarily think that being influential, though, is the, I think that's, I just say no. I don't want to get into a big thing about each individual one.
Here's who didn't get in.
But I say no.
Here's who didn't get in. Rage Against the Machine. They should definitely be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
All right.
I mean, I know that
we're not going to have time to like go through every single band.
I know that rock and rap mixed together, it got played out, but they were at the forefront of that. Devo did not get in. I think Devo should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Pretty influential. Todd Rundgren did not get in. The great MC5 from Detroit, led by guitarist Wayne Kramer, they didn't get in.
I have no problem with any of these so far.
Well, then
I would say Todd Rundgren, yes. Go ahead.
I think Todd Rundgren maybe more as a producer than as a performer.
Quite possibly.
And then LL Cool J did not get in.
No.
Kraftwerk didn't get in. Didn't they always dress in red and white?
I don't know about that, but that's not rock. There's nothing rock about that.
And those are the ones that...
let me run through these really quick, and I'm going to assume this is pretty current. This is... I've got the top 20 Hall of Fame snubs, and I guess this would be of all time.
Okay.
All right, real quick. Warren Zevon, Motorhead, Nick Drake. I don't know who Nick Drake is. Depeche Mode, not in the Hall of Fame. Pat Benatar, New Order. You're a New Order fan, aren't you?
Well, New Order, before they were New Order.
I don't know a lot about them.
Before they were New Order, they were a band called Joy Division, and their singer died, and then they became New Order.
Television, not in the Hall of Fame. The Pixies. Iron Maiden, and I think that's...
Maiden has to be in the Hall of Fame.
I think that's wrong. Nine Inch Nails. If this doesn't... I'll read the rest of this. Sonic Youth. Brian Eno. Kate Bush. Björk. T-Rex. Mark Bolan. I'm going to hit one more next here. The Smiths.
Well, now
a lot of these names I just don't know that much about.
Now that
I know one song by the Smiths.
Now that the Cure got in, that should pave the way for the Smiths to get in because they were part of that whole scene.
John Coltrane, Joy Division, Whitney Houston, and Outkast. I'm gonna say no, not the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
It's a good argument.
Well, but to me, like Outkast and Björk.
Björk.
Björk, it's Björk. It's not Bjork, it's Bjork. Lessens the impact of really some of the, like an Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. Why are they not in the Hall of Fame? I just pull that one out of my...
It's always, every year, it's a great discussion. What does it really mean? What do you really have to do to get in there? And how could you leave some of these people out? It's always a great discussion. And I would recommend going to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Quickly, the coolest thing that I saw in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Yes.
It was a letter written to Admiral Morrison, who was a military man, the father of Jim Morrison. The letter was written by our United States government saying, hey, and the letter was written around 1969. And it said, hey, can you get some control of your son? We're kind of worried about him, and look what he's doing to our youth.
How did that work out?
Well, Admiral Morrison wrote back saying, I haven't seen my son in 2 years. He says I'm dead in interviews. That letter is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's really cool.
See, I don't need to go see it now because you read it to me.
There's so many other things in there, too. It's Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the song that I don't think could be a hit today because it's about stalking. But it was a hit back in the 80s when it came out, The Police. Hey, coming up next, it's our commercial free ride. And we'll tell you why, if you ever win some money at Harrah's Casino here in New Orleans, don't count it in the bathroom. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. The classic rock of New Orleans. So something we're hearing now that we never heard of a couple of years ago is the term gluten. Not that long ago, you could have walked up to pretty much any American and said, do you know what gluten is?
Right.
And they would have said, I have absolutely no idea. And by the way, because now all we hear about is gluten-free.
Right.
And I remember a couple of years ago on the Jimmy Kimmel show when he was walking around the streets and he was asking people if they're gluten-free, and people in Los Angeles, and they were saying, yeah, 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 but none of them knew what gluten was.
Right.
And he was just making fun of them.
Right.
And I mean, in places that think they're hipper than everybody else, like Los Angeles, gluten is right next to Satan. When it comes to what people are freaking out about.
Well, I mean, you could call it freaking out, but if you're, I mean, there's, I guess it's, is it celiac disease?
Yes.
That, if you're afflicted by that, then it's, if you're, I'll put it this way. If you're not afflicted by that, it's easy to look from the outside and say, and by the way, the term that's in vogue, we don't say gluten-free. We say GF.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Ixnay on the Utenglay Ephray. We say GF.
If you're wondering what gluten is, it's a mixture of proteins found in wheat, rye, and barley. I mean, so you would think proteins are good for you. But these proteins are found in wheat, and barley.
Thank you, Dr. IQ.
Well, Brewster, there are some people that need gluten. There are some people that they need to order extra gluten with their food. Can I get I need a sandwich over here with extra gluten?
Well, it's kind of a sad story, but ironically, we used to work with a fellow who passed away, and he and I were both smokers at the time, and he got kidney disease, and I had open heart surgery, and when we returned and worked together, I couldn't have any salt, and His diet, he needed more salt. So he would sit there next to me. He was a call screener, our buddy Jim Graham.
And, oh, yeah.
And he would lick the salt off pretzels. He wouldn't eat all the pretzels. He would just lick the salt off. And I'm over here salivating because I can't have any salt. And see, we were like yin and yang at the time.
He was a good guy.
He was a good guy. We miss him.
I do miss Jim. Well, you hit it right on the head, Brewster, when we started this segment. When gluten is consumed in people with celiac disease, it triggers an immune response that damages the lining of the small intestine.
And that's not a hangnail. That's serious.
No, you know? And it's totally serious. But most people who talk about gluten don't even know what gluten is, and yet they're avoiding it, and they don't have celiac disease. They're just trying to be, like, hip.
Do you really think that's the case?
I'm telling you, that Jimmy Kimmel segment a year and a half ago, whenever it was, that proved it.
Oh, my God. I'm glad that we recorded everything you say, because it's going to come back to haunt you. A Jimmy Kimmel man on the street segment basically proved.
He's walking up to people in Los Angeles, and they're saying, hey, are you gluten-free? And they're like, oh, yeah. And then they would ask them the next question, do you know what gluten is? Most of them had no idea what it was.
But that's not as good as the bit where they would ask people what they thought about, like, an Obama speech before he'd given it, like Obama's State of the Union. He would ask them that on Monday, and he would hadn't given the address until Tuesday.
All of those things were fun.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm... Next time I go to the doctor, I'm going to check my gluten level because I like gluten.
Please do.
And I think I'm going to be one of those people that say extra gluten.
That's right.
And how about Anthony Davis the last two games, Monday night and last night, 44 points. Pretty good stuff. Thanks for listening to the show. Ginty is next. Ginty! We'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30 on Bayou 95.7.